Well, this morning, I want to speak on the prayer of the heart. This has been birthed out of, in some ways, years and years and years of trying to understand the nature of prayer and how it works and how God can, you know, use his prayer in your life. And so I thought that this would be good to share in the summertime. This would be a summertime message. It's not heavy duty, but the implications are. And I would trust and pray that you, as an individual, would really be used of God more in your prayers than ever before, so that people would say, would you pray with me? That's a great, by the way, great encouragement when somebody says, will you pray for me? And because that means they know that you're connected to the Lord and that that connection is real and vital and precious. So I want to read just from 1 Samuel chapter 1. There's one verse. The setting is that the priest thought that she was drunk, that Hannah was drunk. And so he's disgusted with her. Put your wine away from you. That's what he said. But here's the next verse, verse 15. But Hannah answered, no, my Lord, I'm a woman troubled in spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have been pouring out my soul before the Lord. This is the prayer of petition. This is the prayer of asking. And oh, that we would get good at it. That would be my prayer, that we would get good at it. You all know what, at least, if maybe you don't know what it's like. Maybe you don't know how to pour out your... This is what she was doing. I was pouring out my... Now, did she drop to her knees? Perhaps, maybe that's what he saw. Were her words slurred between the sobs as she was crying, reaching out to God for the need of that hour? We don't know. All we know that they thought she was intoxicated, but she wasn't. She was petitioning the Lord, and it was overwhelming to her. I'm troubled. He said, I've been pouring out my soul. That's what we want you to learn here today, at least to catch the principle here today. I'm thinking of Psalm 88, verse 1 and verse 2. David said, day and night I cry out before you. See, the cry is different than just some little prayer. This is the cry of the heart. I cry before you, may my prayer come before you. I'm asking. Lord, I'm asking you, my prayer come before you and turn your ear to my cry. Now, there's intensity. I would think that the nature of this kind of prayer is the intensity of it. It's emotional. It's not a nice little prayer. And oh, by the way, Lord, be with us. Or oh, by the Lord, it's calling out to God, as in Psalm 130. David, again, can you get the emotion here? Out of the depths, the depths of what? The depths of his despair, the depths of his fear, the depth of his emotional well-being. Out of the depths, I cry to you. I'm overwhelmed. Oh, Lord, hear my voice. Hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. Wow. Do you know how to pray like that? You need to know. I need to know. This is an exceptional prayer. This is what every child of God should know, of how to lay hold of God in the hour of need. How to, if I could be risking a little bit here, but how to get things from God. In other words, how do I pray that the Lord hears my prayer and would answer my prayer? So Paul, going to the New Testament now, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, he said, don't be anxious about anything. Well, I know what it is to be anxious. You know how to be anxious. It's hard to be objective when you're anxious. But we're called not to be anxious about anything. But in everything, now here it is again, by prayer. So that's some aspect we could talk about. The other one I think we know better, and petition. Prayer and petition. With thanksgiving, present your requests to God. It's amazing how many people I would have said to them, well, have you prayed about this? You kind of think that most people, 99 would say, oh, yeah, I pray. Most people haven't. They haven't prayed about it. Oh, they might have flashed some prayer for, you know, they win the lotto or something, but they haven't prayed about it. There was no pouring out my soul. There was no crying from the Lord, from your heart to the Lord. It was just, dear Lord, I hope this works. Amen. Right? That's kind of the nature of it. And I don't make fun of that person. I don't mean to. I feel that, somehow we might need to know that, these things. This is important to know. So this biblical asking prayer, that's what I'm really focusing on. This biblical asking prayer often takes the form of importunity and passionate pleading to God. I think the prayer that God answers the quickest is the prayer that's prayed from the depth of your heart. That's why sometimes it can be embarrassing if somebody comes in and you're pouring out your heart, right? It's because it's emotional, and somebody says, "Oh, excuse me, I didn't know you were in there praying." It's because it's passionate, pleading to God, crying out to God, might even be loud. Even wrestling. Jacob wrestled with God. So that's what this requires. It's not just a little, listen, I got 2 minutes, I'm going to pray. No, this is, I need to get alone with God. Pour out my heart. I need to pour my whole heart out before God. I need to wrestle with God. I need to plead with God. Why? Because all of the godly men and women in the Bible did that exactly. It's part and parcel. So asking prayers, as the subject this morning, asking prayers have to do with our more personal petitions, those personal things. So much so that Jesus said, pray like this. Give us this day our daily bread. Say, well, yeah, that's what he said. Pray that. Ask God for that supply. And as we ask God for that supply, he didn't tell us, pray for daily bread. By the way, I'm not going to answer your prayer. He said, pray this, that it will be met. So we need to pay attention to our heart's personal needs. And I asked this morning, don't have to answer to me, but what would you say in your heart, are you paying attention to the personal needs and desires and to take care to spread them out before the Lord? In other words, what is on your heart here this morning? What prayers would there be? What would be the nature of those prayers? I think many times we do not pay attention to our heart's personal needs and our heart's personal desires. I don't think we do that perhaps well at all. And we certainly don't come and spread them out before the Lord as Hezekiah did, right? Just spread it out before God and say, God, this is what's happening. Drew attention to it. I think somehow we think that unless there's a crisis, you know, people say, when I say, why don't we pray about this? Are we down to that? I thought we could talk here and maybe make an action plan, but I never thought that we'd get down and cry out to God with our hearts. Many times our prayers are not strong prayers. I mean, in church when we come in, they're not strong prayers. Oh, that there would be strong prayers, bellows, crying out as we say, God, we're praying for Canada, or we're praying for that individual, or we're praying for that, that it's prayer that's really prayer because it comes from a depth and it's been on our hearts. So as we continue to lift up our longings before the Lord, and by the way, this is the joy of the Christian life. As we go day after day after day, we lift up our longings before God, and when we do that, there is a great benefit to that. We gain understanding of our heart. And I think it's important, it's always important to understand your own heart. I know that if I listen to your prayers, if I could slide in beside you this morning and just be unobtrusive and just be beside you there, and if you poured out your heart, it would be interesting what you were praying about. I would know a lot about your heart and your life, wouldn't I? Wouldn't you know? If I was in here praying and you came in here, I said, I'm just going to kneel and listen and see what Owen's praying about. you know something of the longings of my heart. That's where it's expressed. If it's expressed anywhere, it's expressed in prayer. And the great, great men and women of God who have taught us about prayer and taught us how to pray, it's beautiful and powerful. So it's important to, excuse me, to ask always for God's mind. And this is the thing as we begin to pray, say, Lord, I pray that I would know the mind of God for this prayer. Because I don't know for sure if I'm praying right. Am I praying something that God is said, I'm not interested in that. I'm interested in this and this and this, but I'm not interested. So Lord, show me your mind. What's on your mind regarding this? So we're going to pray for Uncle Henry only to find out that we say we should pray for Uncle Henry's back when the truth of the matter is it's a bitterness issue. And, you know, as we pray for that, we all of a sudden it's kind of say, I think there's a great, not that we won't pray for the back, but we need to pray for regarding that thing in his heart. So we know something that comes from our petitions. So we pray for God's most perfect will on our petitions. Say, Lord, I want this to please you. I'm gonna cry out for this need, believing that it is your will that you meet this need in my life. So until we learn to yield to God all of our needs, all of our cries, all of our desires of our heart in asking, we will know neither him nor our hearts as we should. The one beautiful thing about prayer is you get to know the Lord. That's how you get to know the Lord. You get to know the Lord through prayer. I don't think there's any other way, is there? I mean, we can have a seminar on it. We can have books on it, but you learn how to pray by hearing other people pray. I remember as a young intern in Regina, with Brother Pritchard, I didn't sneak in. He was praying alone in the prayer room. It was a huge prayer room. It went half a block, actually. It was a long, right from the alley, right to the front street in this old mission church. And so you could be in it. It wasn't a small room, and the whole bottom part was the prayer meeting part. And so I snuck in. He didn't know I was there. He's in heaven now, so I can talk about it. But he's praying like this: Lord, Lord, make it real to me. Don't let me preach where it's not real. Touch my heart. Touch my heart, God, that I feel this more than anybody feels this. How can they feel anything if I don't feel it? Oh, God. And he's weeping. I won't ever forget the sound of that. He thought he was alone in that room. So this was a prayer where he wasn't guarded. What will people think? He was praying that he'd have an encounter with God that he could communicate in his teaching. And I thought, boy, you want a lesson on prayer? I just had it. That's the lesson. The pouring out of his heart. That's why God honored that, and that's why it was anointed probably because of that. So this is the prayer of the heart, and the reason why it's so important is because we have much need. We have colossal needs. And therefore, we have much to lay out before him. Every day we can lay something else out before God that has come up, and now we're concerned about this, and we're concerned about how that's going to work out. And so we're drawn to prayer, the prayer of the heart, the asking prayer, the petitioning prayer. You can hardly believe it, that the God of the universe, the God who made it all, says, I'd like you to pour your heart out and tell me what your needs are. Tell me what your longings are. A God who wants to hear your longings. You fall in love with a God like that. It's so wonderful. And people say, you know, he must be pretty busy. How would he care about whether I buy a new fridge or not? You know, how could that be important to God? I don't know how it is, but he says, I want you to pray about it. Is that a need on your heart? You don't know what you're going to do about the washer, the dryer? We pray about that. I mean, pour out your heart about that. Ask boldly for that. Say, well, that's why you discern the mind of God. Say, Lord, show me if this is not a biblical prayer, if this is a selfish prayer or just a gimme, gimme, gimme prayer, show me that, Lord. But Lord, if I'm feeling this, that I should ask you because you put it on my heart. Wow, now that's something else, isn't it? But don't you marvel that God would say that God, this is the Creator God, says, talk to me about that. Pour your heart out to me. And there we are, as if we were the only person in the whole universe praying, because that's how God does it, right? Gail can be praying, and I can be praying, and somehow it never messes up her prayer or mine. God will hear me, and God will hear her. And that's the marvel of it. That's the privilege of it. All that we would learn about asking prayer, the prayer of the heart, like Hannah, who said, I wasn't drunk. I'm pouring out my soul. I'm pouring out my soul. So there was intensity, a lot of intensity. So we come to John chapter 16 and verse 24, and Jesus talking, and he says, ask and you will receive. Ask and you will receive, and your joy, your what? Your joy. Your joy will be complete. Your joy will be complete. See, I think many times there are a lot of repressed desires. Just for example, Psalm 37, verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord. Now remember that. That's something to do. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. So what are the desires of my heart? You know the truth of it is, I often don't know. I'm sure you don't often know as well. They're too repressed. I had little hope for them. Hadn't even thought about it until you read something like this. In Psalm 16, verse 11, in thy presence is fullness of joy. I think the secret of seeing answered prayer and the prayer of the heart being heard by God is that we take great delight ourselves in his presence. That we're like, we giggle, we laugh, we can hardly believe it. So we're delighting ourselves. This is the prerequisite. I need to make myself happy in Jesus. It's not just a matter of, Lord, I got my list. Owen said we're supposed to pray, but boy, have I got a list for you. I'd say, no, we can ask that, and we'll pour out our hearts. We can pray with intensity and mean it. But are you delighting yourself in God? Right? Delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. It's a prerequisite. Happy in Jesus. Are you able to say, Lord, whether you answer this prayer or not, I will forever praise you. This is not a matter, Lord, of me not praising you if you don't answer this. Because I love you. You're my king. You're my God. You're everything. You're everything to me, God. It doesn't matter what happens. I'm yours. I give myself to you. So that in your presence, Lord, there's this fullness of joy. Psalm 16, verse 1. And Psalm 27. That's a part. I'd like to read that. It has to do with something really, really important on our hearts. Yeah. Verse 4. One thing I've asked of the Lord, that will I seek after. What is it? Is that for the washing machine that I was talking about? No, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. That's my, any prayer I'm offering, God, I offer this first. To gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. Do you do that? Do I do that? That's what touches God's heart. That we're so happy in him, just praising him and thanking him and to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Verse 7, hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Oh, petition prayer, prayer of the heart. Be gracious to me and answer me. You've said, seek my face. See, the things of the heart, we come before God and we say, show me your face. Show me your face. My heart, God says to me, or you've said, seek my face. My heart says to you, what part? My heart. This is the prayer of the heart. You've said, seek my face. My heart says to you, God, your face, O Lord, do I seek. Don't hide it from me. As if I said, I can't seem to find God. Oh, he's there. Show me your face. You see, there's something about that intimacy, isn't it? It's not just, again, with the list. The list is important to God. And it's as important to you. These are desires of your heart for your family, for your job, for your kids. This is practical, as practical as it could ever be. And so we cry out to the Lord. He said, Lord, you say, Lord, seek my face. In other words, it's not just a matter of running into his presence, giving your grocery list to God, running out again and say, well, it didn't seem to work for me. It couldn't work for you because it's focused wrong. Remember, God's interested in what's on your heart, but he puts that in the context of his presence and his face. In other words, there's fellowship. I'm seeking your face. You said, seek my face. Your face, oh God, will I seek. And so when somebody says to you, are you praying about this? You're able to say, I've been seeking the face of God. Boy, there's nothing more bigger than that in the universe, right? I'm seeking the face of God. And with the full expectation that he will honor that because he sees my heart. I'm pouring my heart out to the Lord. Yes, Lord, I will seek your face. I will look straight up to you. I know you, Lord, and you know me even better. And so here I am, God. I'm looking straight at you. I will seek your presence with all of my heart. I won't just seek your favors. You will not be a sugar daddy for me. You know, where I get the good stuff. Just sidle up to him. Make it look like you're halfway interested and maybe he'll have mercy on me. No, we're looking straight at the Lord, seeking his presence. How wonderful, how powerful is that? Lord, I desire that my will be one with yours as I pray over that need, that job promotion, that move you're thinking of making, that troublesome thing you heard about your grandchildren. You see what I'm saying? This is really important to know how to pray the prayer of petition, because so much of life, even on our holidays together, there were so many, you know, we're kind of clueless, Val and I, in so many rich ways. You know, we didn't even know, I think I said a couple weeks ago, we didn't even know what side of the train to stand on, get on the train. We were laughing about that. He said, you're on the wrong side. Well, how do you know? Where's the sign that says this side? You know, stupid. And so we were praying because, you know what, by the way, you know what the definition of adventure is? Poor planning. That's a lot more things happen. But I think there are little things caused us to pray. To pray, you know, and to cry out to the Lord. And that's still going on. That's still going on. So how does it work? Well, I want to share in three areas how this would be, to me, at least in my mind, it would be important that we daily pray these three things. Number one, where we ask for strength. Yes, when we ask for strength. Psalm 18, verse 1, I love you, Lord, my strength. You see, I don't have enough. I haven't quite got enough to do most of the things that are required. So I can say to you this morning that I have known God's faithfulness, as you can say, no doubt, most of you here, that I have known God's faithfulness. And so I feel saturated through and through, from the top of my head to the soles of my feet, and inward and outward, I feel saturated through and through with his loving kindness. I have known his faithfulness, therefore I can ask for strength. Lord, strengthen me. As I know that every single morning, you know one thing, what's going to happen, and I don't know what the time change is, but we know one thing that Margo will say, and you just know this, Lord, strengthen me today. Grant me your strength. Many times I have felt weak and discouraged, as you have, right? And even walking over here, and I pray, Lord, strengthen me today with your strength. I don't feel I have very much here today. I feel I'm really squirming here. I'm really dying on the vine. Oh, I don't feel victorious. I don't feel excited. Strengthen me. Will you strengthen me, Lord? I think that's a prayer that he loves to answer. See, turn with me to Psalm 92. This is for, by the way, good news, Richard. I got a discount on my tax bill. It's mixed feelings. She said, oh no, you get a $270 refund. I said, whoa, why would I get that? Because you're old. It's because you're 65. I am. It's funny how you this thing sneak up on you. It's like I left the room for a few minutes, I come back and everything changed, right? Yeah, so I say that, this is a verse that gives me a lot of encouragement. I'll show you why in just a minute. Psalm 92. Let's break in. Verse 12. The righteous flourish like the palm tree, and they grow like a cedar in Lebanon. They are planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of our God. I'm claiming all that. They still bear fruit in old age. They are ever full of sap and green. Now, is that not? You see, the fruit bearing is never to stop. We pray for strength. Say, Lord God, strengthen me to bear a lot of fruit for you. Why not? Right? Why not? Why not pray for that? Pray for strength. Pray that you'll be full of sap, bearing fruit at 65, at 75, at 85, at 95, if the Lord would grant that, right? You just get, God, cause me to be vibrant in my heart so that I'm full of your strength, not my own strength, but God, the strength of God. How about strengthen my mind? Would that not be a prayer for not just people turning 65, but would that not be a prayer? Lord, as I strengthen my body, strengthen my will, strengthen my heart, strengthen me spiritually, strengthen me physically. As you strengthen me, Lord, strengthen my mind, that I have a strong mind, a sharp mind. Right? That's a blessing. That's a real blessing. So we go, and whatever we do, we go in the strength that God gives. Right? Somebody says, how's the church going? We're going in the strength that God gives. If God will give us strength, then we will be strong in the Lord. But you must give us strength, Lord. That should be a part of our prayer, of this petitioning thing, is that we're praying constantly, for not because we're weak and insipid, but we need the strength of God. And we'd be a fool to think that we don't need it. That's the first thing. Ask for strength. Do that on a daily basis. Secondly, asking for wisdom. Psalm 111, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, the fear of the Lord doesn't mean he's coming with a big stick and he wants to beat you every time you don't get it right. That's not the fear of the Lord. It's like the love of the Lord. You stand in awe of the Lord. You're not afraid of him. It's just that you know who he is, and he is all strength and all power and all might, and that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It really is. It really, really is. So, why would we ask for wisdom? The reason for that is we ask the Lord to replace our blind spots. My life is full of things that only you see. Sadly it is. That you see them. My blind spots. I don't see my blind spots. That's why they're blind spots. Right? I don't see it. I need help on that. But when I'm conscious of that, as a new day starts or a day ends, is that, Lord, I pray for your wisdom that you would replace my blind spots and replace it with your wisdom. I've got a blind spot here. I don't see myself well. Others do. My wife does. But I don't. And so I can pray that. Say, God, I got a lot of blind spots. I just, you know, and so today, fill me with the wisdom that comes from heaven. That I may still have those things, but I'm depending on the wisdom of God. You see, wisdom is an attitude of God, an attribute of God that we're to seek and we're to find the wisdom of the Lord. And So we receive wisdom from God. Can you imagine that? I mean, I don't know what your IQ is, but many of us are not the sharpest hoe in the shed, right? We're just ordinary people. We're not brilliant. We're not, you know, we may think we're intelligent, but I'm just saying is that not many of you are strong. Not many, Paul says, they're just ordinary. So ordinary people are asking for supernatural wisdom. Knowing, you won't ask for it if you feel that you're pretty wise and got things under control and full speed ahead. But when you come to another, you wait, life hits you a few more times, you say, you know, I don't know what we're going to do. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do with our kids. I don't know what to do with this. I don't know what to do. Yeah, now we're talking. Now we're going to pray, right? Now we're going to ask God for wisdom because we don't have enough of it. Just can't figure all of it out. We can figure some things out, but not the important things. So if anybody has not yet seriously petitioned the Lord for wisdom, now is certainly the time to do so. Certainly the time to do so. And God promises it to all who ask in faith. James chapter 1. Matter of fact, that is worthwhile looking at. Turn with me to James. James chapter 5, or chapter 1, sorry. This is really, yeah. If anyone lacks wisdom, I think I sometimes have wisdom, but usually it's quickly parting. But I can be wise beyond my years, as you can, and I can be wise beyond my intelligence, and I can be wise beyond my training. There are young adults that I've met that I marvel at how wise they are. And I don't remember being that wise when I was their age. And you can tell they have a walk with God because they're in their late 20s. And they show wisdom. I mean, really, real wisdom. And I don't think it's because they were born with it. They just that somehow, and their parents bringing them up, and they trusted God and got the wisdom of the Lord. And so that's just amazing how it is. So God promises to all who ask in faith, if you lack wisdom, ask of God. I think that could be even regarding a project. You know, you're working on your house. I got a problem. I don't know what I should do. I'm going to ask for God for wisdom. God may bring somebody into your life, or you'll get some information somehow, and it'll be coming from the Lord. See, radical changes take place when we ask, because wisdom is a tree of life. It really is. It's a tree of life. And we draw from that tree constantly. Number three, asking not just for strength, not just for wisdom, but asking for guidance. Praying for both wisdom and guidance are, in my mind, they're together. Wisdom, guidance. Wisdom, guidance. And by the way, this is important to say for me to say this. We don't divine the future. We ask God's will and guidance for the future. But we're not divining something. You know, where people, you know, where you go to somebody and say, what am I supposed to do? And somebody divines that for you. No, we call on the Lord. We ask for God's will and God's guidance for the future. Because we don't know it apart from what the Lord would do in our hearts. So, here's the question. How do we receive from the Lord? If he says, delight yourself in me, seek my face for strength, for wisdom, for guidance. Oh, so much needed for guidance. Even as our church, you know, we say, we need God, we need your help to guide us and direct us through all of the many things that we couldn't possibly know. So how do we receive from the Lord? Well, here's what I think. This is my thoughts on it. Number one, obtain the mind of God on how to pray. In other words, how, Lord, would you have me pray for this matter? Guide us. In our, you know, here we're going to have a prayer time here. Say, Lord, will you guide our prayers so we're not praying amiss? We're praying your will. So, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for that. I thank you that we can obtain the mind of God. I think God is quite willing to reveal his mind to you, his plans for you. That's number one. Number two, we make our prayer requests specifically and simple. There ought not to be a one whisper of religiosity in that prayer. It ought not to sound like some canned religious person has said something, you know, and so, Lord, we pray thy great, you know, what in the world are you talking about? You know, what's that affected voice? What is that, right? In other words, it's just a cry. We pray specifically. We pray simply. Say, Lord, thank you. You love me and care for me. And I'm asking largely, Lord. I'm really lacking. God, I cry out to you. I wonder if, even yourself, have you fallen on your knees? That might be something you feel you should do. I mean, just feel over, I'm just going to fall on my knees here. I have laid out on the carpet, right? Just come in here. I was alone in here. Just fall on the carpet. And just because I knew I was alone. And if somebody would come in, what's wrong? Life is wrong, right? Life is wrong. And I don't know what to do. And I'm on my face here. Like Hannah, I'm pouring out my soul. How? Learn this. Learn this. This will hold you and hold me for all of our lives. Simple prayer requests, because we've delighted ourselves, we've asked for God's wisdom, and now we're asking for Him to specifically provide for the need. Number four, we release our prayer offered in faith. Mark 11, 24. Now, you know Mark 11, 24. Here we are. Truly I say to you, whoever says this mountain be taken down, thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes with what God says will come to pass, it will be done for him. Verse 24. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you've received it, and it will be yours. You know what? It comes down to a matter of faith regarding this verse. Is that sometimes I'm afraid to pray it in case he doesn't answer it. You know, in case it's not. And that's always the risky part of it. But we offer our prayer knowing what we know of the history of God for in our lives. Knowing about his faithfulness. Knowing about how he's helped us in other times. Right? Think of all the times God has helped you. You would be in serious trouble. God spared you. God gave you grace. God brought people in your life, or you would have taken a wrong road. So what do we come, I'm offering this in faith. I'm going to risk. Why? Because I know so much about you. I know what kind of God you are. So I pour out my request. I release my prayer offered in faith. Now, James 1 says, listen, if you're double-minded, you know, he loves me, he loves me not, he loves me, he loves me not, he loves me, he loves me not. I'm in, I'm out. What's that about? Right? You won't get your prayer answered. It's double-mindedness. But if you say, Lord, I thank you, I just rest in this now. I've brought my request to you. I thank you for what you're going to do. Number five, we receive the answer to our prayer and we thank the Lord most sincerely in advance for hearing and answering my prayer. Somebody said, have you had all your prayers answered? You know my honest answer is? No, I haven't. And I got a list, things to ask God about when you get there. You have one too, I'm sure, in your mind. Things that I don't know why that wasn't answered the way I thought and hoped and prayed that it would. But you know, I can live with that, because 99.999%, boy, God has heard my prayer over and over and over. And I can say this, that when I pray, God hears me. Right? I don't know about that incident that happened, and we prayed, didn't seem to get answered, right? You know, we're being honest, right? We're not trying to, let's not fool ourselves. It wasn't answered the way we thought it would be answered. But we'll ask God about that. Did we miss on knowing the mind of God? Did we miss something? Maybe we did. We won't worry about it, because we trust this God that he will watch over us and guide us and direct us. And we praise him in advance. Thank you, Lord, as we prayed for Margot here this morning. We'll remember you as we think of you, that in advance. Thank for all the ways we're praying that he's going to use you, and we're going to wait and hear how that prayer is answered. So, practicing the presence of the Lord and pouring out our needs—that's the prayer of the heart. This is the asking prayer. This is the petition prayer. And even this morning, even here as we close now, I wish, I know we can't do it. I wish we had a big park-like setting here, like they do at Holy Trinity Brompton in England, or at Nicky Gumbel's church. They got this gigantic park. It's just huge. I thought that'd be great. And then we could all go out and we could just find a spot. And what you would do is say, listen, what are the needs of your heart? What are the cries of your heart? What is the anxiousness of your heart? Get in touch with your prayers and you'll get in touch with your heart. right? That, and say, wouldn't it be great if we can't do it here because we'd be so self-conscious, but, and we had a park-like setting, and John could have gone over there, and I'll go over here, and we just said, God, I'm pouring out of my heart. Pouring, oh, that might get the neighbor's attention maybe more than we want, but pour your heart out this morning. And maybe when you get alone, you'll be able to pour it out even more. Let there be often be, I think tears are a good thing for prayer. Because it shows I'm past the stage of just asking. I'm begging you. I'm seeking you. I'm knocking. I'm knocking on heaven's door. And then sometimes I'm pounding that you'll be merciful to that setting, that situation. God, hear our cry. And we shed tears. Why? Because that's the prayer I know that we'll have a chance of being answered. I just know. Why? Because God can't, for some reason, whenever he hears the cry of his people, he has to come. I don't know why he limited himself that way. I don't know what he had in mind. But you know and I know that when we cry, he that calls unto the Lord, you call with your whole heart, he will come. It's in his heart to do it. And that's why David's begging and Hannah is begging of the Lord, knowing that when they cry to God, it's so, there's nothing else to do but pray. And so today, and in the days ahead, I would encourage you really strongly just to look at your heart and say, what is it? And what is it right now as we close? What is it right now? That big thing, that situation, or maybe it's a small thing, but you've been praying about it. I would say pray about it again. But let it be deep within your heart pouring out. There should be nothing plastic about it. Nothing kind of artificial about it. Right? Over the years, I've heard some of the craziest prayers. And you have to just say, well, they're learning. I guess they're learning. But it's just, just so bad. It's so selfish that I just think they just maybe don't know how to pray this. But anyway, stand with me. Please. I guess what I'm saying is I don't want to pray crazy prayers. I want to pray a prayer that comes from my heart, and because I belong to Christ, it'll come from his heart too. Imagine this, guys. Imagine, gals. Remember, all of us together here. Imagine this. He's inviting you to tell him what's on your heart. And you'll do it tomorrow and the next day, the next day. Sometimes I couldn't concentrate on other things. I'm just so kind of troubled by it. I can't focus on my devotional time. You know, you got your Bible, your devotional time, and I'm just thinking and worried and anxious about that situation. And that's when you go with it. You just go with that need of your heart. Never mind the devotional book at that moment. Just drop to your knees or fall on your face or call it to God or go for a walk. Lift your heart to God. Remember one time, years ago, I was in Calgary, and I was driving down Crowchild Trail, and I was overwhelmed by a certain situation there, and I'm crying, and because I kind of thought I was alone. So I'm pouring out my heart in the car, tears streaming down. I'm sobbing and weeping, right, and I'm wiping my eyes. And we came to a light, and we stopped, and I'm still crying and still praying, and. And there's this family with their face glued against their glass, thinking that I was maybe going to suicidal despair or something. And you know, I know, and they're watching me. They're, what is that? Well, it was the cry of my heart. But there's no possible way they could. They probably still say, remember that day we were driving down the road? I was saying, well, loony bin, or what was that guy? He was crying. Yeah. Father, thank you for giving us this wonderful, wonderful opening into your heart. When you said, ask of me, and I'll show you great and wondrous things that you know not of. I thank you, God, you're the God who answers the prayer of the heart. I pray you'd make us good at this. That our whole lives we'll be able to say very quickly, let's pray. Let's go to prayer right now. Let's pray. And Jesus, thank you that you care. You listen to her prayers. I pray that we will be filled with hope and joy thinking about this. And I pray, God, that for even those this morning, it's not just something coming down the road someday. They're really feeling the need right now. And I pray, God, as they pray together as a couple or as a single person, that you would just hear that cry. Hear the cry, Lord, of the heart here this morning. Lord, hear the cry of the one who's discouraged. The one who wonders if there's a plan for their life. Hear their cry, Lord. Reveal yourself to them. May they delight themselves in you. May they find their greatest thrill being in the presence of the risen King. And out of that, then to pray, say, God, hear me. Please hear me. We love you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for how practical it is. So, God, we surrender ourselves on this July long weekend. We just surrender ourselves to you. And we thank you for the kind of God you are. And thank you, God, for hearing and answering prayers. And you know the ones that I have on my heart, even here this morning, God, the private things in my heart, I bring and lift up to you. And I say, God, hear that prayer. I cry to you. Thank you that I have your attention. In Jesus' strong name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you for being here this morning. We invite you to come. We will not get a nicer morning than this for a while. So please join us on the patio if you can.